for Vanguard Academy Board Meeting Tuesday, January 24th, 2017. And let's go ahead and start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First of all, let's take a roll call. This is Kent Johnson, Board Chair.
Grace Mitchell, Treasurer.
Kim Mangum, Member.
Dave Kingston, Vice Chair.
Marie Evans in Assessment.
Joy Palmer, Curriculum.
Suzanne Owen, Director.
Kathleen Kingston, Assistant Director.
Stephanie Evans, Minute Taker.
Eric Freeman, Board Member.
John Jenkins, School Counselor.
Darren Jenkins, Board Member.
Okay, that's everybody present. We'll go ahead and open up for public comment. We'll keep those to under 3 minutes. Is there any public comment from you? If no comments, let's go on to the minutes. I think we passed out the minutes for everybody. If you want to review those, if there's any comments or changes, give everyone a few minutes to go through those. All in favor of approving these minutes, vote yes.
Yes.
All opposed, vote no. So the voting is unanimous. The minutes have been approved. Let's go real quick through the open items. Create a comparative budget for the board for the next open item. Did you get cool?
Yes. I put over it during the.
Yeah, let's hold that.
Finance part. I think I put the changes in that were requested. So if not, we can leave it open.
I did look at what you had to Google. It looks good.
Okay.
Sorry, we missed one above that, which is, so as far as the comparative, we'll go ahead and check it off. If you feel like it's not adequate, we'll take it back off. But, could we, on these open points, put a number, or is there a number on them?
I forgot to print that row. There should have been, there was numbers on the digital one.
Yeah, let's print that just so we can refer to the line number. we didn't miss one open point, set up a management reporting process that will give the board reports in every area. How's that coming?
We have been working on that. I worked over Christmas break putting it into the new software that's the SVM system. Mm-hmm. And so we're getting that ready, but it's not there yet. And then we did hire Lucas is helping with the figure out the back end to be able to have the data dumped straight from Aspire so that we can pull those into our own reports that we will issue And LaDonna will create through Bert. So we're in process, but...
How soon do you think that will be ready for us to look at reports?
I don't have a timeline on that right now. I can get that and email that out. I'm not sure without them having their input right now. I'm not sure where we are.
We'll leave that open for next time. So we have a comparative budget. The next open item is create an app for the extracurricular committee. Is that to refer to the committee that Eric's?
I think it is referring to that one.
I had questions on that as well, whether it was, we have the boys basketball team, which is considered an extracurricular activity, and like the cross country and those types of things, and I wondered, does that app need to be all encompassing for those types of activities, or what is the vision want to look like on that app? I do have a student, one of the seniors, they're supposed to be writing apps for their projects, and I do have one that is going to be helping me on that.
And the main focus of the committee that I've been on so far has just been the music program. And if I don't know if we want to have a different committee or combine all the extracurricular into that committee. Or
They seem like they have different focuses, but they could be combined in the same general area. I'm not sure if you would want to. And you could start creating both of them and see if they fit together, or have we started anything for the basketball or for?
They just started the very first steps of the process going through the checklist, so we just barely started it.
Did we know what the vision was for that extracurricular activity?
And so that's kind of, that's where we...
What are we trying to accomplish with that app?
That's my question as we're getting to that piece. So they started the first steps of rooting and understanding the pieces.
And I don't know that music is an extracurricular activity in that it's one of our more important, almost core, right?
The subject itself is, but I thought that the committee was formed particularly because of the idea of a field trip fundraising for that kind of tour or whatever, which would be more on the extracurricular area.
So is that what this app was?
That's what I understood it to be, but I did have that question, is what is the vision? How do I help the student? Is he's going to help me write it? What do we see the vision as? And is that where I meet with Eric, or do we... Anyway, I'm not sure what the next step is on that.
I have my initials on it, so I... the thing that I thought was referring to Eric and the area that he was going through.
But do those other areas fall into that,
I think they could. I think they probably have to have different requirements or even a different vision for a basketball league versus something like a music field trip.
Yeah.
But it seemed like it could fall under the same. Possibly the same app.
So do you want us to, would the next step be for us to create some type of vision based on what we understand so far and submit it for board review or just a committee review, or how would you like to see that?
I think that's a good first step, actually. That gives us a good idea of what you're looking for. And so going back to this, who would be... So this is assigned to Kathleen, to you, Kathleen. So I wonder, do you want to give us a vision for both of them, or do we have a vision for your...
I can meet with Eric or something and see what we're looking at that way, and see if there's a way to do it, and what the separate visions might be for the group.
And I think if this even defined the app, even if it wasn't fully created, as long as it was on someone's list to create the app, you could sign it off here, I think, and hand it off to whoever's going to take that. The next open item, opened by Scott, is we need to have a secretary for concurrent enrollment.
And it.
And that, it says we hired a secretary. So is that, Scott's not here, so I'll have to leave that open for Scott to sign off.
Does Scott sign off or is it the board sign off? Because if we hire a secretary, then doesn't that complete it?
It does, but the policy's always whoever opens it closes it.
Okay.
But I think it's closed. We could,
With the dispensation there, you know that something happens, so.
So that's completed, so we'll.
Or well, I think if you let Scott close it up, but since the disposition's there, anyone looking at it can see you don't need to do anything else, but.
So that brings up a point, if we can close these items outside the board meeting, I think so we'll just give that to Scott to close if he feels comfortable with it. The next one from Darren Jenkins is put the week of the term instead of the week of the month on the low achievement.
So there isn't one for this month, but it will be on there for next month. So,
okay, so should we leave that open for next time? The next one is combine the academic and assessment on agenda, and that's been done. So we'll see. Have plus or minus a column in the actual budget and fix the formatting. That's probably going to be addressed in the.
Yeah, that ties into that comparative budget.
Okay. And we need to get a college, the next one, sorry, is we need to get a college and career secretary.
And that's kind of the same.
It's actually two different.
It is two different.
They are two different things.
It should be concurrent enrollment, not necessarily college and career.
Right.
Is that a?
Did we hire a college and career secretary?
What we did,
no,
what
it's
we
concurrent
did is
enrollment.
We hired a student services secretary, and that is to take that college and career. So when we say we hired a secretary on the concurrent enrollment, and that's back up at line whatever number it is, that Scott opened, we actually transferred one of our paraprofessionals into concurrent enrollment, and she's assuming the role of that secretary right now, and that's Jasmine.
Okay.
So we pulled her out of the math classrooms where she was prior to that, and she's now concurrent enrollment full time.
And on this open point, should that have been, do we need to hire?
No, it was higher.
And it was hired.
We hired Amanda Walton as well for the counseling.
On the college and career secretary, that's Amanda Walton, but I would prefer that it's maybe changed on here or identified that that's student services.
Mm-hmm.
That is primarily to work for the counselor as the counselor secretary, and that is to work on college and career along with, you know, all the student information system pieces.
And the point I was kind of referring to on that is more how are we making those decisions on what we need and who we should hire, more than in a board meeting shouldn't be able to just throw out that we should hire someone unless it goes through the proper channel of the budget committee and the organization chart.
We did talk to the recruiting committee and did look at that, but I think that. And Kathleen and I talked too, we need to do, what is that report called, our human resources inventory report?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that would help us better define.
The way it's worded made it sound like the board member can say hire someone. But I think there's a process we need to go through to just make sure it's. So that's completed either way, right?
Uh-huh.
So, we need to get a contact from TechRank. The contract, sorry.
And I did get that, and I sent it, emailed it to all board members when I got that. I can resend that if there's anyone that needs that.
I think I did see that a couple days after our last meeting.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was right after the last meeting.
Done. And that was signed too, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, it looked okay.
Okay, the next item is much too different for you. Options and get ready to vote.
Was that the technology?
was that?
Contract. We were looking at a couple of different finalists in that selection process.
Okay.
And we needed to look at the contract so that there was comparable information between the two companies.
Do we feel like we need to, this has been resolved?
I think so. I think it got resolved with that contract and the signing of the contract.
Okay, the next item is reference the app that has been has the details of the walkthrough in the next month's summary. And that's for you, Joy.
And I have done walkthroughs in the last month, so that will be up until next time.
So that's
open.
Still open.
Still
open. The next one is
and that's for the next two of them. And the committee did not meet yet. But we
so we still that's still open.
Mm-hmm. That's the next one also.
Is there a deadline on that, or do we?
It passed.
Yeah,
that's
part. That's part of why it was brought up with Equine. We had 2 weeks left of the term, and you have to issue parent permission slips at least. And enough time in advance to, anyway. So we still need to look at it, but with the first semester deadline.
Could go from urgent to a non.
Well, it still needs to be done. There are help classes this semester, and in essence, it does need to. The decision does need to be made. We need to determine what that curriculum is for that particular unit in the health curriculum, and. You know, according to the research and the law, then we can do less than the state allows, but we can't do more.
So
we can extract more.
We did less last
we
year.
We did less last year.
Okay.
Is that something that's ever audited as far as what?
As far as curriculum?
Yeah.
I don't remember ever having a school audited on curriculum. Generally, you know, you're just tying to the core and the concepts that are assessed using SAGE or any statewide system, that's the auditing process to see if they're getting the content.
We were within our what we could do to not have that included, but we do want to include it.
It's better to not include it if the board hasn't made that determination than to include something that the board has not approved and hasn't gone through the proper process.
We will be going through that.
So you'll
this year.
You'll notify us when we.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one is bring a committee, bring the committee's recommendation recommended to the board for health curriculum.
And that's the same one.
It's the same
one. Or it's part of the same thing.
And then the last one is you set up the board meeting calendar dates and get it on the website.
I did reset up the calendar on our executive team calendar for Google, and I don't, or the Google calendar, I don't remember. Is the board invited to that calendar, and would they like to be? And that's just where we put, like, if there's meetings for the assessment director, or if there's a director's meeting up at the state office, or if there's a training for the counselor, or we put that because it affects the executive team at the school level. And that's the calendar that I updated to make sure that that's on the fourth Tuesday. And I did get the dates from Stephanie today, and I will get it on the
website. Okay.
So it's still open because I have not completed it.
Okay. And I think as far as the other calendar might be interesting.
I can invite you, and you guys can decide whether you want to keep it open in your Google calendars or not.
Okay, anything else on the minutes or the open? Let's go on to the director's report. Turn it over to Suzanne.
And as far as the report that I have, our enrollment has stayed pretty steady. We did lose a few, but that'll be reported on the finance because we went to the format that state had us report with the enrollment and budget
together because enrollment is tied to the revenue that comes from the state. So that will be reported then. I just reviewed on the notes. We did have some issues with some of the lighting on the facilities. A couple of lights started burning and melted. I'm not sure why. I did contact the lighting company. They'll be in tomorrow to look at it and see what's happened. We don't know why it did what it did. And
are those lights that we haven't had them replaced?
They are. And then we did have, there's a fixture in Kathleen's office that is kind of blitzing out. So I did ask him, does that indicate there's a ballast going bad? And he said yes. So and we knew that that would be the case when we put him in. When the ballast goes bad, then we'd have to do the direct wiring. And Alex has been trained to do that, and then we were going to train some of our other help to do that as well, so we can get it taken care of. But so there's that issue. As far as the rest of the facilities, we still have stair treads that need to be fixed, and we're not quite sure which direction to turn on that one yet. And I don't know that I have anything beyond what the finance report and the assessment report will bring out. Unless you have any questions or areas that you're...
Are the stair treads a risk? Are the stair treads a tripping risk?
Yes. That is one of the things that when the accreditation team was here last year, they did point out that that was one of the things we have to fix really for accreditation purposes, but moreover for the safety of the students. The stair pieces, the carpet pieces, are actually just per stair. So I've even considered just pulling the carpet off of the two stairs that are in the worst condition. And I did, over the summer, research prices on getting like rubber tread on it and vinyl tread on it, and it's pretty steep expense that we were looking at lighting last year and didn't have money in the budget to do it right. But we may have to do it on a temporary basis so we take away the risk of tripping.
Oh, there's no question we have to take care of the risk.
Yeah.
So what do we do?
Yeah, let's...
Like I say, my first thought was we pull the carpet off so it's just a bare stair, or
have
even possibly put...
Is the glue underneath it tacky?
It's not too tacky. I would have to pull it off and see, and if it was a situation where it was too tacky, we could tread one stair or a couple of stairs, and it would look different, and that would be okay because it would make it safer.
How much are we looking at to just replace the carpet?
If we did on both stairwells, I think I'd have to look back at my numbers, but I think it was somewhere around $15,000. If we did rubber tread. Because there are several, I think there was a total of 40 stairs plus the landing.
What's the life of the stair like that?
The rubber
was a brand new
tread one. Is really almost forever. Vinyl is, I think it was 10 to 20 years, somewhere around there.
Do you have any recommendations on solid problem?
What is the cost if we just replace the putting carpet?
I didn't research that. And I thought afterwards that I should, because I was looking at maybe rubber treading, because carpet, it wears, it gets...
Yeah, I think rubber treading's
but,
best.
But the carpet is actually kind of nice to kind of pull the water off of the kids' shoes as they're going in the building.
But how long will that last?
The carpet?
Just carpet.
I would think that's similar to what you'd find on a warranty. Probably depends on the carpet you get, but if it's a commercial size or commercial quality, probably about the same as the vinyl.
It looks good for 2 years, and it'll last for...
Yeah, the looks will
15,
certainly fade.
It'll last 15 years?
Well, just kind of looks out. The stuff out here
carpet,
is probably 15.
Yeah, if it's commercial carpet, it probably would. Of course, with the wear it gets with 300 kids walking on it up and down all day, then it may not last that long.
So the carpet that's on there now is here when we got the building?
Yes.
Okay. Carpet's going to cost, $35 a square foot. How many square feet are they? 10 by
And it has to be cut or has to have, you know, it'd have to be finished on the edges. So it's more than just carpet. It'd have to be sewn or you'd have to get the right width so that we don't have it falling on the outside.
So we should find out how much replacement carpet
probably
costs.
Should get actual numbers and then see where we go.
We just shouldn't have a risk where somebody could fall down and get hurt because that's
right.
Going to cost a lot more than.
Right.
Is there an open point for that?
Just give a couple of points.
Is that right?
We don't have Rainy done day fund, huh?
So that's a tenant expense under our lease.
Sorry, what's that?
That replacement of carpet is a tenant expense then, for sure.
Yes.
How much is in our budget for tenant improvements per year?
For this year, I know, and most of that was eaten up with the lighting. But the lighting was quite a bit less expensive than we had anticipated.
So,
of course,
so the 2017
if we're
going to
have
budget
lights burning on us, it's not a good plan.
Get good insurance.
So was there an open point open from that? Have you opened
it? Yeah. We haven't opened it. Just discussed it. I wonder, do we want to follow up on that in this setting? Probably.
You could open it here and close it.
I don't know, but it's really something that you've got to, like Kim said, we can't have a tripping hazard there. So I think it's just a decision. It's just like with anything else that we're purchasing. And what was the dollar amount that became a board decision?
Is it 5,000?
I thought it was
$5,000.
So I did have that on my list. So in finance to kind of talk about large expenditures and if the stair repair goes over that, then that would be one of those things that we would look at. So we can pull those numbers together.
Yeah,
I wondered about it's just following them, not because of money.
Yeah, it's not like a voting action, but if we discuss it,
just to follow up.
The budget is approved. It's a budget approved.
Has it been,
I don't know.
So it has
been
that's my question.
So that was the next question. Is there any money in the budget for improvements, especially if the lighting came in less?
So currently, do you want to see the budget now? Or where we are right now for purchases in that category, we are slightly over budget from what we projected to be at this point.
Right.
But it's not a lot over where we expected to be. So in that category, but we are lower in others anyway. So when you look at the bottom line, there's plenty of room. Just if we want to think about that, would just be a reallocation.
Yeah.
So just depends on how you look at it. In that category, we're already over slightly, but in other categories, we're doing really well. We've got some lower expenses, and so there is money to do it.
I think the answer is
we
just
to be done. In the budget.
So if you want an open point to know that we did it, we can just get that set up to there is money.
Put an open point on and then just follow through with the process with us.
Okay.
It sounds like we just need to get bids and decide.
So that's all I have.
Okay, any questions on the director's report? If not, we'll move on to the governance committee. Where are we? I know we had some items we wanted to discuss.
So we had discussed setting up a regular meeting on a regular basis that would help us to go through this. From what I understood, the governance committee was going to help with the apps and the timelines on those, and to create that to better define the job descriptions and positions and org chart that we want to run under. And so we, from last week, we discussed meeting monthly on the second Tuesday.
Second Tuesday.
So that we could get some progress that way, and just look at the different policies and procedures that need to be reviewed, updated, or created through that process.
Do we...
So if that's still good for the governance committee, then that's what I would plan on.
Do we have a time request?
I had it as... had it as 6 o'clock on the second Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, because the school improvement was 4:30.
School improvement committee meets at 4:30, and then we end about 5:30, and then we would meet with the governance at 6. So if that's still good, then that would be the plan, and I think that would be really good to have the input and the help with that to move it along.
Yeah, that sounds good. Anything else? Okay, let's go on to the academic assessment.
We're all kind of combined, huh?
Yeah.
Joni and Marie
have
and I
one little thing to add to it, but go ahead.
Academic department wasn't really an academic committee, because that's different, but the academic department consists of me and Joni and Marie. We met together to review SAGE data and then get input from each of us in our different departments. And Joni's really over two departments, so she has two spots on there. As to recommendations that we have for admin on things to improve, to help improve our test scores. And so the sheet that you see is a combined effort with all three of us. And since Marie's, it's assessment, we all worked on it together, but it does come from assessment, so I'm going to let Marie kind of walk you through it.
So we actually have two summarizations that I'll be passing. The one that you already have is a reflection and action plan, like she mentioned, that was Joni Joy and I worked on together. And then we also had a reflection document that we asked teachers to fill out as they looked through their testing scores. They're in two different categories. We have summative because we have science classes that are only half a year. And so I put that at the top. So I put the summative first so that you can see where we are with what you've already finished. And that's only the students that took the first half of the year. We do have science kids that will take classes the second half of the year. And so we do have a chance to bring those scores up still, depending on how we do the second half of the year on that. And science is the only subject that we have any summative data on for this year. And like I mentioned, we had a reflection sheet that we had each of the teachers go through. And so they actually pulled their own SAGE data and they looked at it. They looked at the different categories they're in, their subjects, and they identified which categories were the lowest, which were the highest, and what they felt like the contributing factors were to that, and what they planned to do to improve in each of those areas. We also had a category of what could the school do to better support you or give you the things that you need to succeed, and that's included in here as well. And then we have the interim data, and you'll see so line 21 is where we start our interim mid-year, and you can see the overall grade. So you can see on line 23 we have 7th grade ELA, then 8th grade, and goes on down and then into math. And as you go across, you'll see what the interim score was at the beginning of the year, what it is now midway, and what the increase or decrease has been, and none of them decreased. Then the next breakdown is by teacher.
So the increase decrease last year, we didn't do a preliminary testing.
Right.
So we didn't have this data from last year.
That's right. We did kind of a teacher created comprehensive exam mid-year, but it wasn't the same as this. I think this is going to be a lot better predictive information than what we had last year. The state does warn against comparing interim to summative. It's not the same length of test. It's shortened. It's you can't take the so for I don't have averages on here. On the first sheet, did I put those? So we have raw scores, scale scores. We have scale scores and percent proficient when you look at your SAGE data, and it's totally different on interim and summative. So it can be a predictive test, but it's really hard to compare straight across interim to summative. I don't know
explain
if that answers your question.
What do you mean by that, interim and summative?
So interim is not a state-required test. It's completely optional. And it can be used to predict how and where you'll end up at the end of the year. And that's what we've chosen to do this year. So we did ask all teachers to take the interim with their students beginning of the year so we could see where we stood as we started the year. And then we've done it again mid-year. And you can do it twice a year. You can do it once per window. They have a fall window and a winter window. So we've decided to do that this year to do the fall and the winter. And I think we have some pretty good predictive data. And it's been really exciting to see the teachers kind of go through their data and identify those different categories and the different areas that groups of students and even classes are low in and high in, and kind of make reflective decisions and plans as to how to address those issues. And toward the bottom, then you'll see I kind of summarized what they turned in on. Each teacher turned in a full page reflection form, and I've summarized those as best as I could into one sheet, and it does go on to the back. You'll see the math on the back of this page.
So the interim is not the summative.
That's right. Interim is modeled very closely to the summative, and it is the same question bank. They won't ever see the same question on both tests, but it's this pulled from the same state-created question bank. But it's not as long as the summative.
Summative is SAGE testing?
They're both SAGE testing. Summative is end of year or end of course. End of course required by the state.
Okay. And so we only have summative for the science?
Because that's the only subject that has any end of course so far.
Semester class.
Yeah.
And that shows up on this first page?
Mm-hmm. Yep, so at the top there, starting on line 4, you can see 7th grade science. Last year we were at 24, state was 47. So far we're at 18, and then 8, then physics is after that.
So
that's
for the
summative.
And that is summative. That is final. That is state recorded.
As soon as it says mid-year, that's actually a final,
mm-hmm.
right?
So far,
because
that's it.
Because that's where we are at this point with any students that have completed science for this year.
So half our kids have already completed science, and they took the summative, and that's
and that's
result.
Where we stand so far.
We scored lower this year than last year.
Mm-hmm.
Our physics is a little higher, but at this point we've only had our college kids take the physics because we didn't have a regular physics class offered the first half of the year. So that was our college kids. Like 80? 80 to 90. That's my thoughts, too.
Is the problem still, we had a kid come home the other day that just took the SAGE test, and he scored well, and I says, well, don't all the kids do good? And he says, no. He says, a lot of the kids don't care about it.
So if you look through the
like
reflections, that wasn't that the class that had a lot of kids in it?
The physics 10-10?
Yeah.
And the one that was talking to us was actually an 8th grader.
Yeah, that's what's going to be.
So 8th grade science?
And I think that is true, and I have talked with a couple of people even just today. I think we've got to do a lot of marketing for this age and really help the teachers and the students understand the importance of caring.
I like to come talk to the kids before they take their tests, and it seems like it should be mandatory to have somebody come in and talk to the kids and just tell them, do good.
And the thing is, I think it comes down
to
relationships with the kids and the relationship the kid has with the teacher. Because if you look at those scores, you know, in the interim, student A walks into one class, into math class, and they score such and such level. And then they walk to their science class, and they score not so great. And then they walk over to English class, it's somewhere in between. So how do we have to care more about it in their math class than they do in their other? And I think it, like you said, I think we need to have a pep assembly. Somebody's got to come and talk to the kids. And
are we okay on curriculum?
So
if you'll notice on the one that we all did together, you'll see the curriculum reflections that I have. The classes that are scoring the lowest are the ones that I didn't get 180-day plan from, and the follow-through wasn't there for them. So that's one of the things that I have noted. I have specific curriculum recommendations, and some of them are ones that I had concerns with as we started the year. But as I do give my recommendations, and I have to decide how. Anyway, I don't always have the authority to follow through with all of them, but there wasn't a 180-day plan for the ones that scored the lowest, and I still don't have that from them.
So what's done to hold the teachers accountable that don't have the plans?
On my end, I passed the sheet on to Suzanne and Kathleen and each of you, and as I have not been given the authority to make that happen with the teachers.
The only thing that holds them accountable now is they don't get a bonus, right?
So that's
right.
Yeah, so, and so apparently that hasn't been motivating enough to do it, so we need to meet with the teachers. With the second section.
Is it physically possible? Because I'm hearing from teachers, especially teachers with multiple subjects, that the checklist and the things that they are required to fill out are very time-consuming.
I think any person that has said that you set, if you actually sit down with them and do it, then
so Scott, takes you sat down and went through those checklists. What did you think?
Right. I reviewed the packet. I didn't actually sit and do the checklist for them.
Okay. We have asked them to report the amount of time on ones who have finished it. And it's not an undoable.
Is it a lack of understanding?
Is it the new teachers?
It's not. So in one of the ones, it's not just new teachers.
Yes.
It depends on how much effort they put into it over the summer, really, before school started.
One thing that's coming back is they don't understand the value. They don't know what they don't feel like they're getting anything from doing the checklist. So I failed to show them to be able to show any value or to show any follow-up through.
Mm-hmm.
As we look at the 180-day plan, though, one thought that I had as we are starting the second semester, especially for science, it is kind of like the beginning of the year again. I think we need to revisit those plans, and if they are not in place, which it shows that they're not, that we need to probably do what it takes to either get a substitute or get somebody to cover the class until those plans are created, because based on the data from when I was looking at it, when you look at the math classes, I know that there was a lot of time put into review that curriculum and to make those plans.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I can see, the data supports that that process does work. It may be time consuming to front load and create that checklist, follow that checklist that Joy's put together.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at the math, it shows that it's worthwhile.
And you're talking about
another
two different things. There's a monthly packet that the teachers do. That's completely separate, and so we need to keep the conversation separate because we started
really
talking
not
about the 180-day
really
plan.
Not because you have to do the monthly packet too, in addition to your 180-day
okay,
plan.
So here's
right?
the,
but when the 180-day plan is done, it's done. It's not something you do every month.
So the 180-day plan is a one-time thing,
mm-hmm.
and that's
but,
your plan, and that says
new
I'm
teachers,
gonna.
So, like, say you take Carver, and who else of our, and Catherine Mitchell, and any other of the new teachers that come in 2 weeks. 2 to 3 weeks before school starts.
They were all at the beginning of the year training that all the other teachers were at. We have a couple who weren't there, but they have done theirs and turned it
how
in.
How long does it take to do a 180-day?
But when you have to create a 180-day plan, if you're doing multiple subjects for five subjects, see, you yourself told me that you wondered how those teachers were going to do it.
Yes, and so, but they were doing it, and as they were turning it in, then they got to certain levels of it. So like with Catherine, then she turned in, 25% on this one, 25% on that one. And that was really the way to set it up, is that you're still going to always plan ahead and make sure that you're always ahead of where
you
are.
So are they not planning ahead? Is that totally failed on that part where we said as long as you accomplish this much more?
It would appear that failed because they haven't gotten.
Has anybody been following up on that?
So I've been following up as far as asking and how far they are, but as far as the authority to say, hey, I need this, I need it now. Sometimes when I've asked the teacher for it, specifically with John, then
What do we feel like would be the next step if they didn't? Would just be getting resources to help?
I think that needs to go, that question needs to go to Suzanne and Kathleen as what.
And maybe we're talking about something that needs to be brought down to a committee level to.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to solve this in here, but I think the question or
the question was, is it possible?
Yeah,
and the answer is yes, because you have teachers who are doing it. And they're succeeding and doing very well. And it's kind of like, am I going to get in my car and it's snowed and the thing is completely icy and I only have 10 minutes to get somewhere? It takes 15 minutes to get there. Is it possible to get there in 10 minutes? Maybe. Should I get out and scrape my window on my car first so I can see where I'm going? Well, it takes time to get out and scrape my window on my car. Well, you probably should get out and scrape the window on your car before you start driving in your car. And that's the question. So, I mean, I think the question really should be, is it the right thing to do the 180-day plan and say, I'm going to actually know what I'm going to teach my class?
Really,
and if
is.
That is the right thing, then it doesn't matter how much time it takes.
That's not the
that
question.
That needs to happen.
The question isn't, is it the right thing? Because we know for sure it is. The question is, do those teachers have actually physical capability of finishing the 180-day plan with the time they are allotted?
Okay, that's never something
well, they
that
were
was
given
attended.
A bonus because it wasn't something that you could do in a regular school day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the bonus was there, if I understand
well, I was
correctly.
Under the impression that a lot of the teachers started their 180-day plans last year as the year starting at
the
beginning
math department
of the summer.
Did. The math department did.
I think
but
everyone
else got it at
got
the same time.
Toward the, just before the summer was over.
Yeah.
And they may have already had plans in their summer. And didn't plan on that, and I think that was the biggest thing. It's like, okay, now we've got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were open and were able to get it done, and I feel like that some of them maybe.
That's what I was wondering. Now,
yeah, I think that
Victor
might have been
was in that area too. Did he finish all of his 180-day class?
He used Stephanie's for the math one, as far as I know. They
and
shared and collaborated
and
with that.
Didn't he have like 5 or 6 or 7 different subjects?
He has Math 8, Secondary Math 1, Pre-Engineering, and...
So did he finish all of his
engineering
plans?
I don't know, did he, John?
I have the sheet in the math supporting.
His SAGE subjects, he kind of borrowed from other teachers that were teaching the same...
Mm-hmm.
subject
which we
and
encouraged the
them.
Teachers to
and,
do.
Yeah, and we were excited about that.
Reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
Right.
And Catherine's done the same thing. She's just used John's science
was,
one.
She was counting on John's science 180-day plan.
And that's what she's used.
So I'm just wondering, how do we make it possible for those teachers to finish those 180-day plans? First of all, is it possible with the time they are allotted? How much do they really
not during the school day, but it wasn't intended to be done during the school day. It was supposed to be done outside of the regular school hours. And teachers were given notice and ahead of time to be able to start on that before school started, several weeks in advance of our teachers.
So what is the plan? Yeah.
So have you seen the progress from those teachers?
Yes. There and so like Victor had some.
So Grace, if you figure a teacher gets paid $20 an hour, the bonus is going to assume that it should take them 30 hours to create that, and I think that's accurate.
And then what?
The bonus is saying we expect that to take you about 30 hours to complete that, and I think that's
probably about right.
Well, it only takes that long on the first one. Some teachers put in 45 hours on their first one, but after that, the time significantly dropped for the second one. If they actually
their bonus for completing it.
So some teachers have reported
that. What was that in your assessment?
I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Seven
they've gotten a bonus for.
And is it the ones that had it already in place from the year before?
Mm-hmm.
And sorry, 7 is not right. It's 8, 9, 10, 11 because
it's
English has barely finished more of theirs. And I just don't have the hours listed in here.
Is there
and none of the language arts teachers had theirs done the year before.
Yeah.
And so it really
came
down to
so
training.
Your math and your language had it done?
No, math didn't have it
done.
Done.
Language
we had
didn't
like,
didn't.
Math started at the beginning
we had
of
about 5% done end of last year.
Yeah.
And then throughout the summer, they said, okay, all of this is added to it. So we did do the rest beginning of the year.
If the question is, do we need to give additional resources, then I think,
that's what I'm wondering. And is there some way to calculate how many hours it's going to take to finish those 180-day plans?
Depends on how much the teacher says they've already completed. So like Victor has 50% on all of his. So if he needs to do 50% more, then it should take 15 hours per course that he needs to complete. And I think it's up to Suzanne and Kathleen how and when to give those additional resources.
So you
could give them a sub during the school day instead of
Do you feel like the curriculum caused this score?
Yeah.
Is that what you feel like?
Yeah, I do.
Is there anything else that caused it?
So one other difference that we've seen at math is math has been super excited and super motivating to the kids, and they've really taken it seriously as far as tracking progress throughout the year. And as I've done lead observations, our math teachers have been phenomenal at pulling those kids on a regular basis and having it be concept-driven on a regular basis. And it's been across the board in our math department. And not only math, we have other teachers in other subjects too, but math has been our strongest that way as far as making sure that they are reteaching missed concepts and using our lead for that as their primary purpose. And that was actually part of the teacher reflections. I noticed there were a couple of teachers that kind of are committing to start to use lead a little more toward that because they can see that was the benefit that's going to be there. And one of them, in their needs, said that they needed more one-on-one time. And I think lead is kind of carved out for that, or one-on-one or small group time is... She said, if I remember right, but...
Johnny and Marie and I did spend quite a bit of time going through why we felt like the scores were what they were, and you can see that on our reflection and our action plan. If there's anything more that you want to add, this is designed to work. You could add your own as well and have it there, since they're line items, then each item can be followed up on to make sure that that change is made. This is what our recommendation is passing on to Suzanne and Kathleen, but if anybody could add their own, all the board members could add their own, just like the comments that Darren's made about talking to kids about it being important. And that should be added as a line item, and made sure that that's followed up on for the next one. But if you want to know why we think it's that way, you can read through the feedback.
And we do have three different teachers have already contacted me about getting the students' individual reports that show their interim. I don't know how many of you got student reports last year, if you remember those, but it'll break it down very, very well for each kid, and it'll show each category in that subject and where they scored and why. And three different teachers have come to me and asked, can we show those to the kids right now? I kind of want to sit with them and help them make a goal. And so I think as our teachers are looking at their data, they're doing some really, really good reflective processes and some forward-thinking planning, and they've got some things, you know, that they're putting into place at this point. It's just a matter of keeping that momentum, I think.
So on here it says, did we really lose minutes?
In science?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the class length is about 66 minutes, and they get them every day, which the consistency, I think, is really good. But, you know, for a science class, if you're going to do any kind of lab work or... and one of the conversations I had with the science teacher, too, is something that was brought up in board meeting a couple of times ago, is that how important it is that they have the opportunity to practice. And we were talking specifically about ACT at the time, but that idea of practicing. These kids really haven't been exposed much to the testing environment, the process, the procedure. In the science class, there was not any comprehensive exams given. Their exams were every Friday, so they were assessed frequently to determine mastery, but it was like 10 problems. It took them maybe 20, 30 minutes to take the assessment. Then we could see what they're missing, and then they did the lead intervention on that. But this SAGE test is 1.5 class periods long, and it's all on the computer, and so that
we've got to find some way to mimic that test-taking process multiple times. So those kids, we're not testing their test-taking ability. And I think that would be a line item I would add, is we've got to give comprehensive exams that take a significant amount of time and effort multiple times throughout the year, so that they understand and they feel that test-taking environment. But because a kid that's used to taking a 20, 30-minute test once a week in a science class, now I'm sitting down, and I don't see the end to this test. I'm on a computer, I can kind of click back through there, and their attention is gone. They just haven't practiced that process. I think that's one of the key factors there.
Last year we did have all teachers use Sage Formative and Utah Compose, and we haven't done that this year. Sage Formative is not very teacher-friendly, and they replaced it with what they call benchmarks and testlets. They're not longer, like what Susanna's saying, and I think she's absolutely right. We have to incorporate, and I've added that to our kind of plan of action here.
Do they offer a test that you can take?
The teachers just need to create tests and give summative 9-week exams. They just need to do some summative assessments within their class rather than the formative assessments on a weekly basis. And if I've done 2, 3, 4, 5 summatives, let's give a comprehensive that goes back over all 5 and retest that again and get that testing environment. Do it on a computer. Carve it out so that it takes them that extended time so that they can know that it's going to take a little time to take a test. And that I can't just give up after that first 30 minutes because I'm just not used to this environment.
So if you did that like midterm and term?
So it says here the concepts that were tracked showed we would have scored 60% proficient.
Yeah. Yeah, we had one teacher that was tracking concepts pretty early on. And he was the only one that was really doing it in any kind of a format that was trackable or that you could really see where you were. And he said, based on his concept tracking, he thought that he was going to have about 60% proficient. And so as he's looked at it, he's feeling like his assessments are not showing mastery like he thought that they were. And so he...
Is that
John?
Science?
Yeah.
And that's the exact test that I'm talking about. So if we were to just add the component after every so many of his testlets... that we went back for a comprehensive is going to go back and retest those concepts to see, did they really master them?
Well, and he felt like, too, that they weren't really testing mastery like he thought that they were, and he needs to rethink the tests that he's using.
And
see,
I think
the word tracking seems like it's the critical part.
Right.
Because then we can measure and see what
yeah.
we're teaching.
Well, and he was
right
tracking test by test or concept by concept, but did we go back and loop that back again
right.
and say, do you still know? Do you still know? And that longer test
too?
That requires more dedication to that test-taking process.
Could you build that into the 180-day plan? Or the,
mm-hmm.
And just
stay you have to have 180-day plan.
That was one of the ones
to,
that didn't
yeah.
have the 180-day
yeah.
plan complete.
But
so
couldn't we as the curriculum director put that in there and to start with and say this is we'd like to.
I think it would be good for many of the subjects to say that we do need to have at the very least the 9-week exams.
Yeah.
Maybe it needs to come with the course assignments. When a teacher is given a course assignment, it needs to be a written course assignment. And if we want something absolutely included in there, it has to be written on their course assignment to say this must be included.
Because mm-hmm. even the minimal, even if you didn't get any 180-day plan,
mm-hmm.
if you put that in place
in writing,
then that thing has something at least. That, I don't.
And
yeah.
maybe it's just a norm in our school that, you know, after so many weeks we're going to do a comprehensive English exam and after so many weeks a comprehensive math exam.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not testing them all at the 9-week point, but I mean we could because when we get to SAGE that's what we do.
Yeah.
So we
right.
could better move that idea.
Actually.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it is with finals
mm-hmm.
when you get in college.
Yeah.
So when you say we need to do something with the curriculum, is that the 180-day
plan? And just to make sure that have we, like, say in science, have we looked to see whether we're matching state core concepts?
Yeah.
Are we?
And we are. But we still don't have a good curriculum for it. We're still piecing together the one we had last year because...
And do you think that's contributing to these less participants?
I think that's part of it. But I think because with the science standards in junior high changing next year to SEED standards, then we didn't want to invest in an expensive textbook for this year, for 1 year, because the standards are changing pretty significantly. And so we wanted to make sure that we were, because we did research some of the books and we considered pulling in textbooks, but we felt like that the curriculum that we have, the textbooks and the curriculum and the information, it's directly aligned to the core.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think it goes back to that mastery at this in these short spurts versus mastery when I go back and review and say, did you retain it? Did you really master it, or were you just regurgitating on this particular test because I just studied it, tested, there, done, mastered, move on. We've got to go back and do that comprehensive exam.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like with the math curriculum, we do this repeat over and over again because, you know, I do fractions, and then I do more with fractions, and then I do more things with fractions, and it just kind of keeps looping itself back on top of itself. But the science is not.
Okay. And it was a similar situation last year with the curriculum as well, but we are scoring a lot lower than last year. And one of the things that I noted on mine, when you have, I know the teacher did change, and Henry wanted to do quite a bit of things different with their curriculum this year to try to improve the scores. But as they're going into new curriculum, where we did teach the science courses every single day for half of the year instead of all year, then as the teacher came to prepare, it was pretty overwhelming. He mentioned more than once that he was having a hard time preparing because when you teach every other day, you end up teaching the same lesson on Monday and Tuesday and the same lesson on Wednesday and Thursday and then another lesson on Friday. So you end up with three lessons to prepare, but teaching every single day for half of the year, and he had five lessons to prepare. And so as we look at, he had similar challenges, and we let him build the curriculum last year as well, and he made some changes that we thought were going to improve the scores. What were the things that were different? Because his assessment of the kids was the same as last year, too. He's had struggling to prepare because he's got every single day instead of,
I can prepare three. How many science classes does he teach?
He was 7th and 8th.
7th, 8th, and then an 11th.
And he does robotics.
He teaches. So he's got three subjects.
Last
and he gave up a prep
taught,
period,
I think,
too.
Three science classes and three robotics classes.
But he also gave up a prep period to teach another class. So the
well,
prep was...
that's why three robotics. Because that's what the grant that he gets in the math.
Yeah, he gets a grant too.
There's a grant that pays
additional
for that.
Additional.
So he's got two. How much does he have to prepare?
Yes, science 7, science 8, robotics.
So that's every other day prep for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And without a 180-day plan done ahead of time,
yeah,
then it was kind of set up to fail with the science classes.
So that's what we're set up for again this semester, though, unless we make a change.
Unless we insist that the 180-day plan is done now. Scrape the windows off your car, then we're just going
to
get bumping into the cars in the parking lot.
Now that you have the data that has come in and the difference between those who have put the plan in place and those who don't have a plan, have you shown those results to the teachers who haven't implemented the plan?
That's a good idea.
I'd say do it.
That's
a
great idea.
But at the same time, well,
that's not the only thing to do. That's a motivator.
Right. Right.
If you're looking how to motivate them, the bonus didn't work, but
yeah,
if there's something else tied to their performance, they can get higher performance by implementing that plan.
Because teachers don't go to work for money most of the time. They care about the kids, but if they can see that it's impacting the kids in a positive way by putting that in place, I think that might be worth it to them to put those hours in. And then they would get the bonus on top of that if they were to do it for that.
Who do we want that open point on?
Who's the best one to have that talk with the teachers?
It could even be as simple as a chart showing here's the teachers that did the plan and their before
and
after.
The,
whether you had names or not, you could say this
yeah,
teacher.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Let's look at the best way to do that.
Said, have it as a chart and say, teacher A had it in place.
Yeah.
This is the progress we made. Teacher B did not. This is where we were.
Have a little proactive lesson.
So do we want to
I like that. That's a good suggestion.
So how many 180-day plans do we need to focus on to try to help get ready for this course? And what kind of, could we get some resources to help on that, or do you, what do you think?
Do you think it'd be better to get subs than focus at this point?
Probably.
And just let them do it here.
Yep, do whatever, anyway, we'll put together a plan
to
do
something.
I would put science as the top priority.
I think so, because we still have...
Well, English is close, but science for
sure.
We only have one English teacher who hasn't turned on it. Who hasn't 100%.
How many science teachers do we
need? We need to look at...
The science department doesn't have theirs complete, and where we already see where we are.
English.
Didn't the physics department have 180-day plan?
The physics one didn't finish either. Mm-hmm. The college one? Yeah, he reported a 50% completion rate on the 50.
Okay, so
if
we put the focus on the science, we have an opportunity to see as well what that does to science and see and if our, based on the data that we have right now, it should show a significant change. We're just barely starting the semester. Based on what we're looking at right now, support that increase,
mm-hmm.
which is what we need, because science right now is currently below even our last year.
Yeah.
But we still have this second semester to go.
Can I ask you a couple questions just on these numbers?
Yeah.
For the eighth grade science, it looks like there's only one teacher. You have 21% on the top. And yet, when you go standpoint, it breaks down per teacher, it's 22%. Is that just a number?
The school scores I got from the online reporting system through SAGE, the teacher scores, I had them submit those to me.
So
I can look into that.
Rounded up or down.
Could
it's probably, that's probably
yeah, I'm sure that's all it is.
And the other question I had is for the interim for beginning year.
Yeah.
For the interims, was that done like right at the start of the school year before the kids had been taught or anything?
Yep.
So that's kind of more a reflection of the quality of the class you have of the students.
It more gives the teacher an idea, because it does break it down by category. So in math, you have 4 to 5 different groups of concepts, and it will break it down, and it will show you as a teacher, my class overall is highest in these areas, lowest in these areas, so you'll know right at the get-go, where does my focus need to be the heaviest, and where can we kind of move a little quicker.
So for the fall interim 2016-17, that was right at the start of class.
Right.
So really not a reflection of teacher skills at all,
nope.
As much as what class you had in progress.
Exactly,
the
yep.
And when did you do the winter interim? What was the time?
Beginning of January. So just recently, in fact, we finished last Friday.
Was that?
So right after
the
term.
Beginning of January, a couple weeks
beginning
our
of the term.
So it's not they come back to class.
No.
Break.
Beginning of the semester, yeah.
That could be another question or issue.
And with science, it would be the same kind of thing. We get the interim at the beginning,
uh-huh.
but then they finished their year and took the summative.
What, the
and
end of
so
their
the kids
semester?
The interim in science this month are kids new to science. But math and language, they're kids that have had math and language all year.
I think what question you had is, did they do it right when they came back? We did actually have the test the first week of January, didn't we?
No,
it was
the second or third. Not for interim.
So enough to get them back
or what
the
about
swing
the science?
Things,
oh, that's right. No, we're talking about interim.
Yeah.
It's the science stage that they did at the very end. They did after the Christmas break.
And actually, 7th and 8th did most of theirs before break.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And he finished up.
Is that better to do that then, rather than get two more weeks of school?
I believe so. Because you wouldn't have enough time to come back and refresh anything and test. And your test has to be finished before the course ends. Once that student's not enrolled in the course, they no longer have the option of taking it. So we couldn't extend the time that we could allow them to take it.
You guys have a little bit of leeway of when you can give the test to the students?
Yeah. Yep.
How big are they anyway?
So they finished the term, the semester was second
was it
week
the
of January.
Sixth?
First
week. First
week.
January.
Which is really a bad time to end a term, huh? You leave for 10 days, or how long is it? 10 days, you come back, you have 1 week to take finals?
Yeah, we changed that for next year.
I had a class like a college class like that, I'd be like, what? I'd be like,
I kind of thought that when I.
That's crazy to me. Especially if you're taking an intro test.
Yeah, the biggest concern to me was taking a test right after you come back. Do you think that affected?
Could have affected the physics of 10.
The 7th and 8th grade were done before break.
For that, yeah.
So,
but that meant that cut even more of their curriculum time. So they lost 2 minutes from last year, and then they lost a whole week and a half because they had to take the test before.
Not a week and a half.
It was it just 1 week?
Small, short week.
So,
yeah.
But that's an additional week
yeah.
of instructional time that they lost so that they could take the test before break.
Have we sat in these classes to see how it's going? I mean, how the classroom control is and the teacher, what's going on in that class?
He actually does a good job as far as that is. As far as the 6%, the on-task behavior is not as high, and it's obvious from the test scores that that's what you're seeing. But he, you know, the activities that he has going, he tries to motivate the kids. You know, he has PowerPoints and, you know, has the kids involved in the process, and they're working in teams, and he takes them into the lab. You know, there are great things happening in there. But, you know, the organization and preparation ahead of time really is lacking. And I think that if it was well prepared ahead of time, I think that we would see some improvement.
I think we should have someone on the board sit in the class. This is real critical.
Yeah.
Really critical.
That's our school focus. They're scoring lessons lower than state. We have kids scoring better in a math class, and they walk to their science class, and they're scoring less in the science class than they are in the math. So their level of care about the test, they obviously care about the test and doing well. These kids are trying. Most of them are trying to do their best on the test. What is it that's not working in the science class that's working better in
the classes?
Do you
have a copy of the curriculum, the 180-day plan that's already done, half of it, or...?
For... Science teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I can pull it up and see my computer just died. But I don't think I have a copy from John. I have a self-reported percentage from him. I haven't received anything from him.
Mrs. Lumpkin, can we get a copy of the curriculum packet and also the copy of how far they are and what their 180-day plan looks like as of right now?
Yeah. We see it.
Make that an open point. And is that
me? Who
to
is that to?
Who wants it? You want to get it? You want me to give it?
No.
Yeah. We'll sit together.
So is that one, Joy?
Does that mean to get it, or should it be?
That was what I was asking for today, though.
Is the curriculum should get it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If curriculum's in charge of it, curriculum should get it.
Who all is on the curriculum? Sorry. Who all is on the curriculum?
Academic.
I have it pulled up, I can tell you.
Okay.
Yeah. The new curriculum committee that was set up has Grace, Darren, Kent, Joy, and department heads is what it says on this sheet.
I think we substituted Darren for Scott, though, right?
As soon as you have four, there's quorum.
Yeah,
I don't remember Darren showing up to curriculum meetings.
He came up. Darren was added after. I actually think we met during the day
Darren
when he couldn't
yeah.
come.
Darren couldn't do it. He couldn't meet because it was
Scott's
Darren.
Not going to come during
the day. Yeah. We'll just have to meet at night so that we can make it available for Darren.
I remember meeting on the map. I don't remember. Did we had a meeting, curriculum meeting after
that? We haven't had one since then. We mostly met in the summer before school started to approve the
curriculum. Grace, you're the head of that committee, so I think that goes to
you. All right, Joy Houston, can you give me that?
I can ask John for it tonight, and then I think just need to give him a deadline. What do you want his deadline to be? to give that to. I mean, if we're asking for what he already has done, we're not asking him to do anything, right? We're just asking him to give it.
I want it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you have it, don't you have it?
So they're supposed to drop it into a shared folder, but I haven't had anything from John yet.
Have you signed it off if you haven't seen it?
I haven't signed it off.
Also, I mean, we have 50%. Can we look at the text?
Because you said it was...
It's self-reported. I review it in order to give them the bonus.
So if
they get a bonus, that means I've seen it and I said it's good, it's been completely done.
Is that possible to get it that fast?
Well, I'll ask him for it tonight and tell him that you need it. I'm going to tell him I'm getting it for you and that I need it tomorrow.
Okay, so curriculum packet that shows me what is in the curriculum and then what they have so far on the 180 packet. And then we're going to start dropping in on the classes to see what they look like.
So it seems like this is a really good assessment. I don't know if it's all the way completed unless we have input from everybody, but it still seems like we're missing what's the conclusion. Or not I see recommendations, but more. And the first thing that we're doing is we're getting the 180 plans where they are to review by the board. That's step one. Step two is just watch it, come to the classes, have a board member. What would the directors feel like would be the next steps as well to get those scores up?
I'm not a director, but I would like to see better use of lead time across the board.
I'm not actually asking in this meeting, but I think it feels like we need something along with this to follow up and say this is what the actions that we're taking. Here's the recommendations. Here's the actions that was recommended by the director and the board to go through and say this is what we're going to do. And at least then we can track and see where we're at as far as what we did to improve the scores.
Yeah, I put that as an open point.
So what was the open point?
Create a
plan of action.
A plan of action for the assessment. What do we call this?
Curriculum.
Reflection. See, there, it says action plan right here. But
so it says action plan.
Well,
this should say recommended action plan.
Yeah, it should have said recommended action plan.
Yes, it does.
That's right. Because
those are recommendations, but really.
Yeah, these are recommendations. Now
we
see the actual policy.
Right,
The actual
on each department it says recommendation, but the heading doesn't.
So do we know how the grades correlate with this?
They don't match.
If they don't match, it means that we're not teaching the right, our curriculum doesn't match.
Yeah.
It could mean the way we're grading doesn't show understanding, too. Isn't really based on learning.
But I think
it could mean a few things. Back to the testlets that are given, you know, at that point in time, it showed mastery. But did it show actual mastery or did it show regurgitation? That's what I mentioned. So the element that is really missing is that comprehensive, you know, go back and see, do you still know it? Do you still know it?
Mm-hmm.
And have that extended. Like I say, just try to mimic that testing that they're going to be
I actually just pulled up the grades, and I think they might correlate.
If it's for the first week of term three, or first
No, this is looking at the end of term two.
Like they're pretty correlative.
I would...
Very cordial.
So
yeah,
does
class
that mean,
averages of 53.
Does that mean 60. We need a more aggressive approach on reading?
Which one
science?
Is a 53?
53 is still way above the
50% score.
No,
but if, well, you have to consider that's only 15% of students that are proficient, not a 15% average score on the test.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be different. You're looking.
But if your class average is 53 and 60, you've got to assume that you're summative is probably going to be rather low is what I would assume. So based on whatever he was tracking, I'm not sure how that correlates to end of term grades because that doesn't seem accurate.
We must need a report that shows grade percentage.
So
anyway, by the way, as you look at that percent, what's the grade, the letter grade that goes to it? Because he's doing mastery-based grading.
I'm just looking at
the level
overall
four.
There's
class
like there's
average.
About 15 students, I'm not going to name names, but it's F, C minus, B plus, D, D minus, D minus, A minus, C minus, C plus, D plus, B, C plus, D, and D.
This is close of term two.
That's the end of year grades?
That's close of term two.
For science, for science, seventh grade.
A seventh grade science class, yes.
For last semester.
So there's like
three
or four
kids
people overseas?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there were two kids with an A, two kids with a B, and everything else is below.
First reflection. Did you turn in a reflection?
I asked him again in an email yesterday and then went over and talked to him today. He may have emailed it after school. I don't have his yet, so I'm not sure. But I can add that on once I get it.
Were they given time in that, like, a meeting that says you can go home, or you can
that's
go home
the
when you're
well,
done?
Well, no, we didn't lock them in and say you can leave when you're done, but we did, that's all we did, that staff meeting that morning, that's what we did, and then we asked that afternoon that that's what they work on as a team, and most of the teachers did and were excited to do it, and they really liked seeing where they were and coming up with a plan of where to be, and like Kathleen said, they're here because they want to help the kids, and... But I didn't get his. I did get most of them that day, but he didn't. And when I asked him today, he said, "Oh, I didn't realize we had to turn that in yet." And I didn't give him a hard deadline because I didn't have the authority to do that, so it was kind of my fault.
He is almost done with it, though.
Yeah, he was working on it, so I'll just add it when I have it.
Sometimes if you don't get that high grade line, you kind of put it off until you have to.
Yeah.
So he's, I'm assuming he's the head of the science department, right?
I think Victor's the head, is that right?
This is another
yeah, Victor's our head.
So is Victor...
Well, when you say department head...
Making it happen? Is he
give,
following up?
Do we give our department heads time to follow up as well?
Yeah.
Well, and he hasn't even had instruction as what to follow up or to follow up. I mean, so Victor is doing what he's been asked to do, if that's your question.
I'm just wondering, how do we hold our science teachers accountable?
I'm wondering what we need to do to support him. Like, what do we need to do to give him what he needs to make it happen?
And that's what my first question was.
Yeah.
Physically possible for them to
it is physically
it is
possible.
Possible. The answer to that is yes.
Do they know
but does he need
to
support?
But
I
do they need resources to accomplish
does,
it?
Yeah,
yes.
Does he know even how to put together an effective plan?
Yeah. Yes, it is just a matter of figuring it out and just maybe even meeting with them and finding out what to, how can we support you, what do we need to do to make this happen or to help you get what you need.
And part of that should be Suzanne, the scores on the stage, showing him where he's set.
So can you put that on our action plan? And who would that?
What did...
So John has already seen this.
What did you want on the action plan?
To go and
find out what support he needs. Or what?
With the department, head of the department.
Okay.
And kind of show him where we're at, what we and decide what we need to support him.
And decide what we need to help Victor make it so that he can help John and bring the whole science department together.
Yeah, Victor has turned in... The only things I have in the science center need a plan folder is Victor's stuff. So.
That's probably who should be in that meeting with Victor. Probably just, you know, the director. Is it just the director?
I think whoever Suzanne is.
Just follow up on that.
So should that be an open point on your office?
I think
if it's not, where it's going to fall through the cracks.
Yeah, we probably need that.
This is probably important enough that it's an open point.
And it needs to be on the plan action plan for this this assessment. So it should be in two places. We can put on our final points in it.
So go over the results with the department heads and find out.
Come up with a plan.
Okay.
Do you have scheduled department head
meetings? That's probably. I think the plan of action
awesome.
Should
be
assigned to through Suzanne and Kathleen about, is that, so come up with a plan, an action plan for this report, which is basically what we're talking about. And that's probably an open point. I think if we do that, it's a point that doesn't come up.
That'd be a good idea, so it doesn't come through.
Is there any decision on resources or adding resources to these guys to help them finish? There was discussion.
I think that's what we need to look at is in the action plan is what resources we have available, what options do we have.
What's it going to take to do it?
Yeah, so that's what we need to look at that and see where are they really based on sort of if what, if Joy said that he submitted 50% is based on his estimate. What does that really mean? If he thinks he's 50% and then we go in and look at it and see what it has, maybe he is, maybe he isn't, maybe he's farther than that, maybe he's not.
If they do it, if they give them the time this week, then I'll likely be here to be able to help them through the process.
That's what Joyce Baby's waiting for, is for So we'll just let the science department know that this baby is counting on that.
So Joy, when you get the teachers, they say, well, I'm 25% finished. Did they show you their 180-day plan?
If they're at completion, then they have showed up to me. I haven't gone and looked at every single teacher's 180-day plan.
So
that's self-reported.
You wouldn't even know if they really were at 50% completion.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something we need to change?
I do have something I access here that, where does it go? So he has something in the folder, but because I'm not, it doesn't look to me, it's not nearly as detailed as the ones that I have seen. So as an estimate, I would assume that it's actually less than 50% based on what I can see here.
Yeah.
But
I don't know that.
Some teachers do it on their desktop and they don't upload to shared folders.
I don't know if it's been updated somewhere else.
Yeah, but we'd have to ask him. I'm print out and turn in.
Is there an app called How to Write 180?
So there are instructions that come with it, and we had a full day training to train the teachers on how to do that. And then any teacher that has said, hey, I need help, I've gone personally and helped them with that to know how to do it. I don't do it for them because the idea is if we're hiring qualified teachers like with John's, it would not make sense for me to go and do his 180-day plans. He's the educated science teacher. So he needs to do his own, but as far as how to do it, I'm there. Anybody that's asked, I have helped.
So do we need to put it in our procedures to make sure that when they turn in when they say data is 50% done, you say, let me see it?
That they share it at that point.
You could, and it really comes down to how many resources do we have for curriculum, because I'm in the 12 hours a week that I have for curriculum, that's not possible for me to do that unless I don't do anything else.
Is this like the stairs?
The what?
Is this like the carpet on the stairs?
Someone's going to trip if we don't fix it.
Yeah, somebody's going to do it.
We need to allocate
this needs to happen.
I think it comes down to support from
make that requirement.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't look at it, if I was turning it in, instead of just saying a number, I'd probably have a lot more done.
The idea was that they were all going to be done. And that we wouldn't be in this spot. But as I asked teachers for.
I like the idea of submitting it, whether you have time to look at it or not.
Because that way, at least it should be in the shared folder. If they're going to say I'm 50%, they need to upload something.
And so that was already communicated in my question, and so I'm going to say that again. Where is there going to be someone else that can follow up with authority that says, okay, you didn't get this to Joy? Because I have turned in every single month, who has given that to me and who hasn't.
Can the department head be the reviewer to say it's 25 or 50?
You turned what in?
And make that
the sheet that says who has turned in their stuff and who hasn't. My monthly management.
So this sheet right
here.
Each of the teachers have a contract.
So I'm thinking somebody who is not, I mean, I've asked for it. It's got to be somebody who can put some weight into
it. Not the admin.
It seems like it should go. The first step should be the department head.
They
should hold the department head.
But who should hold them accountable? Because I've tried and I've given the information that I don't have the stuff for them, so I'm thinking it might need to go a step above me to someone that is in charge of hiring and firing. That could say, it is a breach of contract because we put it in the contract this year. They don't have a 180-day plan and it's a breach of contract.
So you mentioned the department head, so would the right thing to do would be, if I'm the next one in chain of Joyce, you would give me the report, I would look at it and they're not there. I would talk to the department head saying, this person in your department or your department is deficient. Is that the right thing?
I
is that so. What you're saying?
I wonder if even just some follow-up of talking to them would help them realize the importance of it. I don't know if you've already done that or not.
Yeah.
Or just have the process to say, if we're at this point, then follow up, go to the next level, and realize that someone else is now watching to say. And even...
So.
Even if that's all you did, then...
So the first place that they would submit it would be to their department head, is that...
Isn't that... For each one right now submits
it
to Joy.
Reporting, that would make sense.
Yeah, Joy said that she wasn't the expert, so maybe the department head is the expert. And even though she probably is, but if the department head could say, you think you're 50%, but I think you're probably on 25, so we probably need to work on it.
So the question is, what are we going to do about it tomorrow morning? Do you want your department heads to leave their classes and go ask teachers for it, or do you want someone who's not teaching... to go and say, hey, we need to get your 180-day plan.
I think it comes down to system. And as we talk about management reporting system in general, I think that that flow needs to be the same, in my opinion.
Yes.
And we're saying, if we have a department head, if that is one of the positions that we have, and the purpose in that is for that streamlining of the reporting, when we're reporting to curriculum, then the individual teachers should take all those reports to the department head, who then will compile that and review it and provide open points or whatever is necessary to be able to collect that into a department report, which then goes to curriculum coordinator or assessment coordinator. And then that gets compiled into a report that goes to management reporting, which is Kathleen. And that's my thought. I don't think it's, I think you have to go back to Kim's comment, where do we need to allocate those resources? And if we need to allocate some time or paraprofessionals in the classroom or an additional stipend or whatever, and the department heads are supposed to get an additional stipend, whether that's enough or what we expect of them, I don't know. But I think it does come back to that, because if we don't figure out how we're supposed to report things and who we're supposed to report them to, and if it's for this particular thing, then this is my method, and for this other department, then this is my method, we've broken our system.
Mm-hmm. So going down now from bottom to top,
mm-hmm.
to fix this problem, would you go to Victor's daily checklist he does every day? Is the management reporting done every day?
Checklist.
So on his checklist, it is a requirement to check at a certain time how far are you on your 180-day. So who controls the checklist?
It could be, and who controls them? Very good question.
Yes.
Very good question, because I've gone in circles really and had conversations, and I really want to know how to best streamline. And that's why I'm not saying this is the way it's got to be. I'm questioning myself. I'm questioning, is this what should be in place? Because it feels like that if we don't have a standard reporting process, then we're making this whole thing so confusing that I don't know that teachers will know who they need to go to do what and when and how.
Right. So who would make that change on his checklist?
Right now, the checklist has been created by a combination of Kathleen and Marie and Joy and myself and LaDonna and...
It's created, so we just have to adjust it, right?
Uh-huh.
So who would make that change on
the
checklist?
Good question. Who would?
There is a department head checklist. LaDonna has been making and updating those changes.
So would our first step be LaDonna change that and then make Victor aware of what he has to sign off on every day?
More than just Victor, it would be every department head.
Yeah.
Again, it goes back to the system.
Exactly.
But the 180-day plan shouldn't be a daily item.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be
done before school. You may even say on your daily checklist, how are we sticking to the 180-day plan?
There is something on the checklist that has you update the 180-day weekly. Mm-hmm.
So if they don't have one, they've been marking no on that.
So it shows up as red.
But if a teacher marks no on it, they can still get a good job on the packet. And just stop.
So is that what we're going to do? Do we have an open point that says I'm going to go and tell Ladonna to change that checklist for all of our department heads?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I've taken notes on mine.
Who's currently following through with the checklist? Once they do mark them, and we add the line, who is the reviewer? Yeah.
Ladonna has been reviewing. We're working on training the department heads because that's where I feel like we, same kind of thing, but the department head needs to be able to review and they would be the expert on that. Ladonna has been giving review points and open points. And
so Ladonna's reviewing the teachers?
And that's how it's been. And so that's what I was trying to help.
That
Ladonna shouldn't be reviewing the teachers, and that's why I was trying to help get to the department heads.
I thought we were turning it into department heads.
They do, but the department heads were not reviewing, so all the open points had been coming from Ladonna at this point. She was giving department heads open points to review other packets.
Has an extra stipend.
Yeah.
So there is.
So they should be doing something.
So there is a checklist, and we've been trying to improve that and train the department head to review and how to review the other packets. So we've been trying to fix that so that it was the steps that they needed to do. But I think right now they're not being as thoughtful. They look at it kind of, this is how I imagine it, and I haven't sat down to understand it, but as a department head, as they're learning to do it, they kind of just look and be like, yep, it's all filled in, you're good. So I don't think they're not necessarily looking at it. So like Joyce said, they could mark, so there's a box that says, is your 180-day plan updated, and they could say no or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but they're not taking it to the next level, saying, what are you going to do about it? And that's where I feel like the training, the focus needs to be is how do we support those department heads to create that change? Because I do feel like they are the experts that if we have a science department head, they're going to give better feedback to a science teacher than I could.
Do our department heads know that they have a stipend specifically for that?
Yes, and so that's why.
But I don't know that the stipend is enough, to be honest with you. Because I think, what was it, 100?
It's not. It's more than that.
Is it?
I
want to
say it's
$250
a month.
If you
look
at
the
number, if we look at what we've talked about today so far, our number one problem we've identified is mastery of the students. The number one solution we've identified is 180-day plan. So what's our top 10? That's our number one.
I would like either Suzanne or Kathleen to send an email out to the teachers who haven't turned that in and said, get this to Joy. I think that, I mean, yes, it's going to go through the process of review, but I think an email
like,
that says
we need seems like we need to sit down with them as much, almost, instead of...
Instead of email. I think Suzanne needs to talk one-on-one with them.
And
tell them this isn't working.
Because we need to come up with a plan.
And each one of those teachers might be a little bit different as to how they're going to accomplish it.
And
so maybe Suzanne's
supposed
to find
out. If they say they
want to
do it over the weekend, we'll let them have the weekend.
And not only
that, or if they need somebody to help them or whatever it is.
You're going to find out if it's impossible for them or not.
Because we've
you're
going to
find out what their challenges are.
We've done the email, or I assume we've notified them, we told them
contract.
They still haven't, and now what's the next step to help them to get, what do we need to come up with to make it so they can make that possible?
So I guess our next question is, so is it Suzanne that needs to sit down with the teachers probably?
Mm-hmm.
When will that happen?
This week.
And Suzanne knows that, when you communicate to them, they understand why are we doing this? For the mastery, for the students, right?
Mm-hmm. So now how do we follow up?
So I think that's on the action plan. So
I think that's
we're
where we
basically
create
our identifying
action plan.
Our action
plan. So Suzanne's
going to
sit
step
with
step.
Them, and then we make the action plan for each individual teacher, so we make a teacher catch-up plan.
We
so
want the curriculum committee to get a copy of that.
Yeah.
And is there a new deadline for 180-day plans?
That
Suzanne
plan
has
says.
To identify that because she's got to see what they're up against.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she needs to see what's realistic. What
because we can't
what
just
they
say
can do.
Your 180-day plan is due on Saturday.
Yeah.
Without seeing what they're up against.
But it seems like you'd also want, so as a tactics teacher, you'd want to get a time estimate of what it's going to take. So if I see one teacher has 208-day plans and he estimates it can take him 15 hours for each versus the teacher who has four and also estimates 15 hours at each. So we need a time estimate and maybe individualized deadlines, but something from each teacher that they'll communicate with Suzanne to say, this is how much time I need to be able to complete that.
Then you bring in the department heads to review and agree on that. Because then they're now held responsible to make sure they get done too. If they can assist or whatever. Their insight's going to be involved, right?
I think that's kind of what the meeting should be for.
Who's the science department head?
I think he has four different classes teaching. He's already done a lot on his.
So the next question is kind of, in my mind, is we see this for the science. How do we feel about math?
So if you look at the projections, then you can kind of see, and the numbers that I've written on the board is where we were last year. If you look, starting on line 35, between 35 and 51, those lines, if you go over them, there's a column that says projected end of year percent proficient, and that's where, if nothing changes and we continue as we've done the first half of the year, this is where we'll be.
So most of them are increasing stuff.
How did you find your projected end of year percentage? What was that? What determined that?
10th grade students.
Because it's not based upon progression.
So it was, we identified students that were at where we felt like they should be at this point of the year. And that's what we're basing it on. So we identified the ones that are now proficient, plus the ones that are right where they need to be. And if they stay on track like they are right now, then they'll be fine.
What is number of bubble kids and number of high priority?
So I had the teachers identify those, and we gave them a range on the proficiency scale so that they could figure. And bubble kids, I've started at the bottom, are students that are close to making the goal. And with not a lot of effort, but some close teacher focus, then they'll be easily bumped up into the proficiency category. High priority kids are not close and are going to require a lot of assistance. Mm-hmm. And then teachers also on their reflection plan made an action plan of what they'll do with each category of kids. So what are some steps of action that they'll take for the bubble kids, and what are some steps of action that they'll take for the high priority kids?
So would we make an action plan for both math and English?
I would love that.
The same that we're doing, similar to what we're doing for the...
And I think there's a lot more involved than the 180 plan. I think that's a really good starting point, but anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of the glaring thing for science, because they don't have it, but the other ones do. So, except for one, there's one English teacher that doesn't have one.
How soon do you think we need to have that action plan? And how soon is that realistic to have it?
Seems like by Friday is supposed to be the department head meeting, so I think that we should be able to meet and have some kind of plan of action decided, because so tomorrow's Wednesday and Thursday, we have an A day and a B day. Every teacher has a prep at least one of those days. If Suzanne's able to get in and meet with them on their prep between tomorrow and Thursday, Friday could be the department head. We could finish those action plans and get that ready. We could be able to meet with all teachers potentially and create some kind of action plan. We could get something going or started and passed on by Friday. Do you think that would be doable? Because it seems like we're already, January is pretty much over. Semester's going to be over.
Would it be possible, would it make sense to come up with an action plan and email it to the board?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. And so we can kind of see if we need progress and what we're.
So email it by Friday after meeting with the department head.
Mm-hmm. With the action plan of what we're coming up with, too. So.
To the curriculum committee, or how would you like that?
I think as many eyes on this as we can have, it's going to help. Okay, what's the next?
I have one more thing in part of that sentence. I passed out the concurrent enrollment grades. And so this is their final grade for the end of the semester. And it shows each class on the very end is where you'll see your total. 51% of the students received an A in their classes, 32% had a B, 9% had a C, 3% were, that needs to be changed, that should say a D, 1% was lower, or was an F, and then 4% was a withdrawal. And I guess I changed it up at the top, but I didn't change it in that category. But it was A, B, C, D, F, and withdrawal. So you kind of just see that.
Actually, it's fairly it's for all the college classes.
Yeah. I feel really bad about that one F, because that one student can never take concurrent enrollment classes again. When I talked to Snow College, they were actually quite impressed that we only had one for as many students as what we have.
Did we put in place an orientation for our college kids before they go to the class?
It's in the process. I got the secretary right before classes started, or right when classes were starting. And we're in the process of getting those put together. We have a student success checklist, and on Fridays we go over that information and how we're doing it. We're in the process of putting that together now.
Okay. So how soon will we have it in place?
We're actually already starting the Friday lessons.
And orientation.
Mm-hmm. And there's a few things that are involved in that, but it's minimal time. We actually could use a little more time. But as far as getting prepared for a new class, the class has already started. There was a little bit there, but will be put in place for sure before the next class starts.
Would it be possible if any students got a C or below in concurrent enrollment that they would have to have a signed signature from their parent that they want to continue on taking concurrent classes? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
that's
something that the actual both parents have to sign and say, I'm liking it. Because that if they, anyone gets a C or below in a concurrent enrollment class, they probably shouldn't be taking. Is my opinion. And if their parents wanted to continue, then I think we ought to have them both sign and say, are you aware that your child got less than a C or less, and do you still want to continue to have them take the class?
That's good. And that's actually also part of the process that I was supposed to do, but didn't get to that yet. I was also looking at the GPA of each of these students to see if they are qualified to move on.
Yeah, something like that you could even hand off to someone and just say, anybody, we've got how many students here? And just before they can enroll again, they would have to have something signed from their parents.
21.
Or does that?
22 total points. 177.
Really total students.
Yeah. Oh, the C or a C or lower. Actually seems pretty good.
It is pretty good. It does. but then those ones that are at that level.
Then the bad ones, I guess.
I feel bad for all those students.
And some of the things that you can look at, too, is like when you look at the chemistry class, you've got 1C, that chemistry, that class is going to be a lot harder class than, you know, criminal justice. If you get a C in criminal justice, you're in trouble. So that's another thing that we might even take into account.
I guess the kids that got Fs and even Ds had the, we had a discussion with them.
Well, yeah, we had several discussions with them.
To withdraw or not withdraw.
Mm-hmm. And we recommended it, and right. We had parent meetings. And
they didn't realize they couldn't take a class again. I think I'm
done. Yep, and that conversation was had, and that student who's now has to work with that.
Are we ready to go to the Finance Committee report?
So.
Okay. Maybe I should tell us about the budget at the beginning all the time so that when you want to know whether we have money or you can be looking at the budget.
But I don't know if we're going to move it to the top part of the agenda.
So this is the comparative budget that was asked for.
Nice colors.
Left side, the budget is what we was approved and planned for the overall, the full year budget. The projected column is where we were projected to be at this point. So for the month of the year, this was prepared for the end of December. So as of the end of December, our revenues were projected to be at those points. And then the actual is what I've highlighted in colors so that you can see whether we're the red is below what we had projected at this point. The green is above, and then that column gives a percentage of how high we are above or below. So is this, as far as
this
formatting,
is
this...
much more useful than it was.
Yeah, as I went through, I...
Very good.
So do we want to close those open points?
So are those open points good to close then on the budget, or is there any other changes you'd like to this document, or is there something else you'd like to add to it?
No, and I think the next document you're going to go over as well, it reflects the comparative that I was thinking of even more, where you have an actual, yeah.
Those are all, so that's the...
budget detail.
Budget detail.
That's also very useful.
So that I just added that into the packet as backup to this, so if you were interested in going a little bit deeper, that there is a document that has more depth as to what are in those categories. Anyway, so I did go through and look at them. As far as the local funds, we are quite a bit lower. We had projected to have some of the donations, similar donations that we had last year. Some of those did not work out, and so now I'm looking at other options and working on some types of fundraiser or other contacts and trying to make other contacts as far as donations that way for the local funds. That's why there's such a significant difference. Most of the donations last year came in December, so I anticipated at that point having that high. So that's why there's such a difference projected point to where we currently are. Most people do it to affect their taxes and would have come in by December, and so that did not happen. So I'm looking at other means for the remainder of this year. However, if you look at the other areas, our federal funds, some of the grants and different things were higher than we anticipated. So as far as revenue coming in, the overall difference from where we thought we would be is only a 3% decrease of where we anticipated being at this time. So
how are we off by 30% on salaries?
We...
it's a positive base.
Yeah. So some of them are not getting that... So those bonuses
missing the bonuses.
They mm-hmm. Some of them were not getting that, and then we did not...
Seems like that would be a pretty predictable number.
Yeah, so that's significantly different. And so that affects the 200 category also, because we are not paying as much in salary, then there's not as much taxes and things, benefits that way that go into the 200 section. So 200s include your state taxes and all of those things like that. And so without paying as much in salaries, then we...
What percent of your employees are getting share bonus?
I'd have to pull that data. I don't know for sure.
And then it comes down to, is it possible to get the bonus?
So as far as the management reporting, the majority of them are. And part of it, that's another thing, as we've gone through, like I mentioned, as we're going through and training the teachers, so management reporting packets is something different and new to a teacher that they've never done. They've done the lesson preparation, and so some of those other things is something they've done. But when you add on this system, it's taken an extra time and effort. So there is time and effort involved, and that is why that stipend is there for that. But at the same time, there takes that training. So for the first couple packets, the intent was to give them the bonus or the stipend, however, whatever you'd like to call it, for doing and completing the packet, because we need to get that system in, and this is how we mark it. So whether you didn't do it an item, you still turn in your packet, you got the bonus, because we have to be able to see where are we, who's turning it in, what does it take. So we did give that to them, and that's where I'm at the point realizing now, for them to get that bonus, I feel like it needs to be done correctly, and we have to have that department head focus and that help of review, so that it says you turned in your packet, it's in, but you have to fix these open points and these things have to be cleared. There were issues as we tested it. I didn't know how else to test it. So as far as the templates, so LaDonna has put everything we've been running through Excel. When you format it, if you don't format everything correctly and the teacher populates it, it should be a percentage. It's not a percentage, it's a dollar sign. There's different issues that way, and so working out the bugs has been rather time consuming, and I don't know how else to test it without the teachers doing it. And anyway, so if anybody has a better idea, I've been working with Scott on the SVM system, and I've created 4 basic apps in the system that will allow us to do the teacher checklist in that system. And my next focus was the department head, because I could see how critical that piece is to being able to have that piece in there. And I'm wondering what's the best way to test it. And I kind of wondered if it's possible, and I hadn't had a chance to talk with Scott about it, to see if we could have just the department heads do theirs through there. The teacher would do theirs the same way, but they would upload it to a different place. Mm-hmm. But the department head would start with their dashboard and their checklist, and that way would be a little bit easier to facilitate, to be able to give that. And I'm not sure what that looks like yet. But I do need to spend some time to set all of the teachers and all of the employees up into the system and add them. But I did, over Christmas break, spend the time on getting those pieces into that new system to see if we can do it that way and have it live. Because isn't that one of the things that you have access to, is you have the live ability to get in and see it and give open points, and the open points show up on your dashboard, and you cannot... any that open point is there until it's cleared. And so my intent for the bonuses would be that they wouldn't receive it if those open points are not cleared. Does that make sense, or is that...
When you think about the department head and that stipend you were talking about, would that be different depending on the number of packets they're going to review, or the
so
number
it
of
is,
teachers
it is
that are in the
depending
department?
Upon, so the more packets, so if if a department had 6 people in that department they're reviewing, they would have a larger stipend than somebody with 2 people in
yeah,
the department.
That makes sense.
Because they are putting more time and effort into reviewing that, and so that is mm-hmm. how that would work. But right now, because they're not really doing a review,
yeah.
I've given one stipend to a department head regardless of their department size, because right now they're just kind of compiling them and they're not really reviewing them. They are doing one step so that we can test the process, but there hasn't been a difference in the bonus for the, behind it. So as we move to the system, I've kind of focused my time. LaDonna's taken the time to review the current packets in the Excel system. I've been trying to log into the new system to get that ready to have that live as soon as we can. But I'm still learning the system, and so I have some questions how to facilitate that the right way.
So how soon's that?
He hasn't reviewed them yet.
Next Wednesday is their month.
So that.
If you do it right, then you can be running the full thing on Wednesday.
I could do the whole thing, but how do I train my teachers to use it?
It's really simple.
So that is my goal, is I was going to try by this weekend to get everything loaded. I have all the teacher pieces. My focus would be the department head and the next levels that I don't think would be as time consuming, but I don't know yet. Now that I've learned it, I am faster.
You just get what you have in there and then run it.
Okay. So
it's not going to replace your Excel reports or your other reports, but it is going to give you an automated system to take the documentation you have and bring it to where you need it to go.
So anyway, so I'm close to that, and so that was my goal, was to be able to be live for February. And so I don't remember how we got onto that for finance committee, but oh yeah, that tied into the stipends and the bonuses. Okay,
because I found it kind of surprising that a majority of your employees are not getting their bonuses, and I'm wondering why.
So most of them are getting that department pack or the packet for turning it in. There's not all of them, but most of them are on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. I think she thinks that's why it's 30% off. Is because the bonus.
Yeah, I think we had budgeted for one more. Oh, it's
history.
The sped. It's our sped. We didn't get our second sped teacher or an additional sped para, which is we're still looking for. We have the current sped para that we have is going on maternity leave soon. We are still short on sped help, so that was one area. And then
so the sped
the history
is
teacher.
In bucket as far as
it is, but all the funding as far as it is still in the same bucket here. But that is part of it, is we did not hire additional sped teacher or sped para, and we didn't get the history teacher for the second half of the year.
So does that mean if we don't have that person, we just lose that money?
No.
If it's federal
funding. If it's federal funding, yes, but I allocate federal funding first, so that's as far as the expenses go. Any sped money is expensed through federal expenses first, and I can carry over states' bed.
So
and
not,
without losing it.
So we're not losing it.
We're not losing it. Even federal carries over, I think it's for 27 months. So we do have some time.
Still use.
And we can still use anything that carried over from last year. We still can use and spend. And that's the first draw that when I apply the expenses, I do the federal funds first. And then any state funds would be second, or it will carry over. And so it would be really good. We do need additional sped teachers. It would help to reduce that carryover or that loss or potential for loss, and it would better support our students. So we are still looking for that. And so that's the biggest increase as you look through the expenditures. When you look at the overall all bottom line, because we have been so lean on those areas, then our overall bottom line is 179% higher than what we anticipated at this point.
Just ask you a question? On the detailed budget that you have posted on the, on the online, it looks like we may have taken, one of them is mislabeled on the heading, or it's the wrong column. What you have on the sheet here says fiscal year 2016.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And
that should be 2017, very fiscal year 2017. That first column.
But that's what it says in the detailed budget. That's what it matches here, but we really did want to see, 2016 here, didn't we? Are we in, we're in fiscal 16 now? Are we in fiscal 17?
We are in fiscal year 17.
Okay.
Is that what I have approved budget?
Yeah, because it matches 17. Your detailed column. It says 2017, fiscal year 17. So
that was a typo. Thank you, and I will correct that. So on this sheet, if you want to cross that out, this is says fiscal year 2016 budget.
Okay, so
my bad.
It makes more sense now.
So other than that, I can make that change to this form. If this form is good, we will continue to use this. If there's any other suggestions or changes. And as Suzanne mentioned, we added the enrollment, or this is this sheet that we had submitted to the state previously. They no longer require it, but we felt like it was a good report to submit to you that shows the enrollment numbers in each grade, because they are tied to the funding source.
What was our initial? What was it? 390?
380. We were about 385. We haven't gone down too much, many, since we had our official number at the beginning of the year, October 1.
Mm-hmm.
And we did lose, I think we've got four that will be off. These are the numbers as of December 1st. That was the...
So there's been a few since then.
We've lost, I think, four. Is that right?
Three or four.
Three students that we've lost after the semester.
Mm-hmm. I think it was four.
I was thinking four.
So that this, yeah, will show
one
in the next report.
One of them just moved to online, but another's at least three.
So... And then, anyway, so that's the biggest part of it. The other part of the financial report is for the policies that we reviewed. We went over the investment policy, the conflict of interest policy, and the whistleblower policy to make sure that those were in line and in place and that they were reviewed. We do need to make sure that our policies are reviewed on a regular basis, and so those ones, because of some deadlines and reporting, then we started with those.
Mm-hmm.
So those policies were reviewed and are being updated. The last thing was just the large expenditures, and I did not get a sheet into the shared folder. I just made a list of large expenditures that are coming up or that we're looking at. Suzanne mentioned the stairs and the repair associated with that, and we can get some bids together and look at that and get that in place. We still have the fence. No decision was made as to what that is. We're still trying to get that worked out. Suzanne did get some quotes on that, and I think we're around $8,000 to $10,000 is what it was looking at as far as putting a fence in place. We need additional math techs, as it's for the honors classes. Is that correct, Stephanie? Mm-hmm. The honors classes are moving at a pace that we need another level of textbook, and we're working on getting those in place and here by February. So we're working on that. And then through the UCA, the federal funding, there we had allocated funds for some Chromebooks and carts that we have not yet purchased, and so that we are looking at getting those, and I believe Marie and Tech Right have been putting together quotes for that. And then the last thing on the large expenditures is we are looking at quotes for PE facility to be able to do PE indoors over these cold months. And looking at that, part of it has been proposed. Our basketball team has been using the recreational center, and they're looking at fundraising and they've been trying to put together some fundraisers to cover. My question would be, I can get the quote out to the board to review, and what amount do we want to, as Vanguard, want to expend for PE and like the basketball extracurricular? Is there an amount that we want to say that we'll fund this much and the rest needs to be done through fundraising? How would we like to go about that? Because it is quite a large expense to be able to rent a facility that offers what they offer and the size of the facility. We've looked at different areas and just wondering what do we want to fund and what do we want to
how does the cost? How does the cost compare to, like, if you funded textbooks for another class?
That's a good question. I have not. Let me see. Let me compare it. One thing to consider it is not a full year amount. So for the 10 weeks that we have scheduled, the amount is comparable to what we budgeted for the English textbooks for this year. So, and if that's what we feel like is the right thing to do for the PE program, then that's what we need to do. But we didn't put it into the original budget, so that's kind of where I don't know what decision needs to be made. If it's already in the budget, it's already been approved to go forward with. Yeah. Otherwise, I need to know what threshold you want me to spend and what we need to fundraise for.
Is that based on per student? Because PE, you don't need as many credits as you do language arts. The language is a full credit, whereas PE is a half a credit.
It was just based on what we looked at for number of textbooks we would need, the dollar amount of the textbooks needed, and I'm just looking at what we budgeted with. This is not an actual either. This is just in my expense worksheet that I worked on. Mm-hmm. I'd have to pull data to know exactly what was spent.
So this is for a PE class or just the basketball class?
It's for the PE classes.
When we say we offer the PE class,
about $5,000.
Do we really offer the PE class?
For the facility?
For 10 weeks, and that's just for the use that we would have, the particular classes we have in place this semester.
They're having a difficult time completing their curriculum and following their 180-day plan at the point right now because we don't have the resources. In this fall, they were able to do basketball outside, they could do volleyball on the grass, and that was part of their curriculum and their plan, and they were trying to follow the same plan with the second semester, and they haven't been able to do their
so
plan.
So basically cutting off their legs.
So mm-hmm. we're not able
so
to.
So just do it.
So.
What kind of cost does it look like?
It's just over $5,000.
For 10 weeks?
For 10 weeks. That's actually about 9.5 weeks because they were hoping to start this week. And so that is if we started tomorrow, the budgeted amount or the quoted amount is $5,225.
So what if you don't do it? What are they going to do?
And
they're going to stay in their classroom.
Then we
that
we have
the
PE teachers. Yeah.
Questions.
So that is the questions we're having. And so we might have to have them flip and do basketball and volleyball in the spring. I don't know. I haven't reviewed their entire plan, but they're asking the same questions. Do they need to go back and rerun their plan? What do we do for them?
How much per month is that?
I don't have a month. I have $500
an hour.
$550 a week, so that's...
It's $2,000.
The quote is $50 per every hour of usage.
So is that... So you can make that decision without... Board approvals, even though it's 5,000. Or do we need to?
So, anyway, part of my question is just to make sure that as we it needs to be considered in the budget in the future, and so
yes.
It wasn't, and so I just wanted to find out if you look at it as if it were a yearly thing or if we didn't, is that the right way? Because typically, it would be $2,200 a month. We're only going to use it for 10 weeks. Is that the right thing to do? If it is, then we move forward and do it. If not, then...
cheaper than the cost of a teacher.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's cheaper than the cost
thing.
Of building our own facility, too.
Okay.
A lot cheaper.
It's school 30.
Okay. I just needed the way to judge because we hadn't discussed it in the budget meeting before. And
yeah, I think just do it and get it done.
I think it's an ongoing thing until we build our own facility, but I don't think we'll... Yeah.
Okay. Good. Other than that, that was it for finance.
Okay, we have one last item. Now, the curriculum review, this is a discussion. Is that? Do you use
that?
What's
on the yearly calendar? That was on the yearly calendar of things that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we hit curriculum
that.
Good and hard tonight. So.
Okay, I think we spent a lot of time on that. So. Mm-hmm. I think that's it for the agenda then.
The motion to close.
All in favor of closing the board meeting, say yes.
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 The board meeting is officially closed.